الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم It is farther than every ummati to know their Nabi. Every single human being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning until the very end of time has been placed underneath the shade of some Nabi. We are those human beings who have been so blessed, so selected, so chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has put us under the tender shade of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, Sayyid al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, Rahmatan lil-Alameen. It's fard upon us to know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the tragedy is that the Ummah has forgotten their Nabi. Even those of us who pray regularly, attend bayan, come to masjid, even us to a large extent have forgotten who Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Sometimes people say that no, it's because we're far from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Urdu they express the same thing this way, that hum zubane nubuwwat se dur hain. Actually, it's not that we are far from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather our lives are far from the uswatun hasana of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, the power of the sunnah, the power of the sirat mubarakah hayat tayyiba, the power of the talimat and kifiyat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his absolute, perfectly complete uswatun hasana is still there for us today. There's no concept like that we are far from the Prophet ﷺ in terms of our own ittiba'i sunnah. No doubt, barakah in the day and age may be less today because we go further from his time, we go closer to the end of time. That is barakah out there. But how closely we follow his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa in here, that has nothing to do with being far from his time. That was our own choice, if anything, to be far from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us would know the story that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara, and more sahaba were entering Islam, and he used to give Jummah khutbah, and one sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we sitting in back, some of people, and we're not able to see. So Allah Ta'ala put in my heart idea that I make mimbar for you. And I want to make some steps that next Friday when you come, you climb those steps and you stand from those steps and you give Jummah khutbah. Allahu Akbar. He was Ashik Sadiq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Sumi said, okay, fine. No problem. So sure enough, next Friday, this Ashik Sadiq, he had brought mimbar. And sure enough, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he climbed mimbar and he started making Jummah khutbah from mimbar. And all sahaba were so happy. Now I can imagine that all sahaba must have been so happy, especially the ones, Allahu Alam, how many sahaba were there at that time, and they were gazing at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must have been making dua for their peer bhai, their fellow sahabi, must have been making heartfelt dua for him, that he had such beautiful idea that to have Nabi Kareem some come on sunnah mimbar where we can all gaze at the most beautiful of all creation. So in that moment you can imagine the joy, rapture, ecstasy of all sahaba ikram. But then one wailing sound pierced that joy. And sahaba mentioned that there was a crying sound. But they say in Urdu, hichkiya means wailing like a baby. And they didn't understand where is that sound coming from. And then when they listened and heard, that sound was coming from a stump of a tree. Not some kamil tree which has lots of branches and lots of trees and lots of fruits and lots of flowers. A tree with no kabiliya, a stump of a tree, but it was a stump of a date palm tree. Which stump? That Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to lean on that stump of that tree. So he's crying. So what did Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Although Jummah khutbah is fard. No, he's rahmatul alameen. He paused Jummah khutbah. He came down those steps. He went to stump of date palm tree and he crested, soothed it, calmed it until it stopped crying. Only when it stopped crying, then he went back up on the steps and resumed Jummah khutbah. So what does it mean? Why did I tell you this story? That date palm stump of a tree, without any leaf, without any flower, without any fruit, is so much better than you and me. Why? Because Nabiya Kareem didn't go very far from it. He just went 1, 2, 3 feet from it. And this date palm stump of a tree was crying over its own hal, that I've gotten ba'id. I'm distant from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he wasn't distant, just few feet away. And me and you have become light years distant from the uswatul hasana of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have yet to cry over this own hal of ours. That date palm stump of a tree was better than us. Better than us. Allahu Akbar. So it's not that we are far from the time of the Prophet, it's that we have become far from the Sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Mustafa. Mustafa. You know, it's strange, some of our, obviously they're not here tonight, but some of our very secularized university youth, they're so distant. Even in Pakistan, I'm telling you, we had opportunity to teach such youth that they couldn't even spell Mustafa. They didn't even know, is it with a sad or is it with a seen? They didn't even know, does it end with an alif or alif mamduda or alif maksura? They couldn't even spell it properly for you. Yes. That's how distant people have become. So what does it mean, this word Mustafa? The word Mustafa means chosen, select, choice. Now Sayyidina Rasulullah, he said, was chosen from all of... So Sayyidina Rasulullah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is himself Mustafa. But not just him. Everything about him, everything associated with him, everything affiliated with him, all of it is Mustafa. What does it mean? Allah Ta'ala selected Medina Munawwara to be Medina to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That city is Mustafa. Allah Ta'ala suggested the Azwaj Mutahharat to be Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Each and every single one of them is Mustafa. Allah Ta'ala selected from all of the Arwah, the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Every single Sahabi is Mustafa. And Allah Ta'ala selected me and you to be from the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every one of us, you and me, is also Mustafa. In fact, we should imagine that Ya Allah, on Yawm al-Asr, when all the arwah together, what was that gaze that you cast on my qalb at that moment, Allah, that you chose to select my ruh to become of ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, cast that gaze on me once again. I need that same nazar-i-shafqat again. What was your fazl, your inayat at that moment, that you selected my ruh to become from ummat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should feel in a tremendous honor. Don't you see people today, they get selected for admissions in a university, they start wearing the sweatshirt, they start putting the name on their bumper sticker on their car. Somebody gets selected for a job, they get so happy. Oh, me and you were selected for the Ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That also has some paraphernalia. That also has some izhar that we reveal and display our utter joy at being selected for this Ummah. So we are also Mustafa. Now we wanted to talk tonight about what should be our feelings for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are several feelings mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem and the Sunnah. First feeling is the feeling of Iman. You may be thinking, no, we already have that feeling. No. Iman isn't just aqidah that we believe, yes, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatam al-Nabiyin, last and final prophet and messenger, and that we have become his followers. No, Iman is something much more deeper than that. Iman means yaqeen. Iman means yaqeen. And many times in our ulama, mashayikh, based on Quran, they talk about this concept of ilmul yaqeen and aynul yaqeen and haqqul yaqeen. And many times we talk about that, about the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about other things, no doubt. But even in our iman about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an ilmul yaqeen, an aynul yaqeen, and a haqqul yaqeen in that iman. So let me just explain these three terms using an example. If you go to somebody's house and they tell you that, okay, I'm going to bring you hot tea, and they go into the kitchen, and they're a reliable, trustworthy, truthful person, so you have yaqeen, you have ilmul yaqeen, you get certain knowledge that they're going to come out and bring you tea. When they come out and they bring the tray of the tea, and there's some steam rising from the cup, so you see it, you have aynul yaqeen that they brought you hot tea. Then when you take the tea and you drink it, then you experience it that it is indeed tea and it is hot, that's called haqqul yaqeen. So have to iman and to have iman in Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the level of yaqeen, what would that mean? To have ilmul yaqeen and aynul yaqeen and have haqqul yaqeen that he is Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ilmul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen would mean to know the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Aynul yaqeen would be to see the sunnah in some sahib sunnah. That's why we do kunu ma sadiqeen. When we sit with the great awliya Allah, then we got to see the real sunnah. We got to see it. We got to see the living embodiment of sunnah. That's why all of you would remember Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Ramtaleh. This is what people say, what we experience with mashayikh. What? That when we see them, we remember Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we see them, we remember those hadith about how sahaba would feel because we were getting that same feeling. For example, sahaba say that Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi used to be so soft and kind with every sahabi that every sahabi felt like he was his favorite. Remember now. Now you remember. Yes, you've seen sunnah. You had anal yaqeen. But we don't get anal yaqeen when we look in the mirror. No, no, no. We get anal yaqeen when we look at these great awliya mashayikh. We see the sunnah. We see the living embodiment representation of sunnah. And what do they have? They have haqqul yaqeen. They have haqqul yaqeen. They have become that sunnah. They have experienced that sunnah. They are living that sunnah. Our mashayikh, they taught us that if a person does kamil ittiba'i sunnah, zahiran and batinan, kamil in perfectly, completely, they follow the outward form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they make their heart adorned with the adab and akhlaq of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah Ta'ala bestows and gifts them with the adat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They get the mannerisms of the Prophet. They get the likeness of the Prophet. They get the ghair ikhtiyari. They get the personality, temperament, outlook, style of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And that last finishing touch, that last finishing coat is what attracts the humanity, the awam, annas, of the ordinary believers to those great awliya Allah. It's actually in their ittiba'i sunnah. So following the sunnah of the Prophet. They have haqqul yaqeen. When we see them, we have aynul yaqeen. Or otherwise, when you read about it in the books of Shama'il and Sira, you have ilmul yaqeen. So to have iman, then what does it mean? To have real iman in Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to do kunu ma sadiqeen. At the very least, you have to move yourself to the level of aynul yaqeen. And if you really want to have iman in Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to live that sunnah, be that sunnah, become that sunnah, haqqul yaqeen. That's why I said we're very far from having iman in this meaning of yaqeen. Some of us yet don't even have ilmul yaqeen. There's so many wonderful things about the Prophet that we don't know. So many wonderful attributes and features that we don't know. Can you imagine? How could you call that an ummati? How could you not know your Nabi? How could you not have ilmul yaqeen about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we will give you names along the way of a few books that you can read. At least you get ilmul yaqeen. Number one is that great work, the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi al-Tirmidhi, translated from Arabic into Urdu by the great Wali of Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya al-Tirmidhi. And just recently I was given a gift of a newer English translation, Ilmi Publications, Lanesia, Johannesburg. So it means you can read it in English, you can read it in Urdu, you can read it in Arabic, the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi al-Tirmidhi. Second, there's a book called the Ash-Shifa by Qadi Ayaz Rahmatullahi Al-Maliki Al-Andalusi. He wrote a wonderful work. In that work, there's an incredibly beautiful chapter on the character of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again, written in Arabic, translated in Urdu, and also translated in available English. You have to learn about the sifat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is ilmul yaqeen. You must spend time with mashayikh, ulama, sadiqeen, you will get ainul yaqeen, and then all of us, it's our dream and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we actually become the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's called haqqul yaqeen. So the first feeling is iman. Another way you can understand this feeling of iman, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah, in one of his works, Special of Tafrika, he made a beautiful definition of iman. He actually based all of iman on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, iman means simply that whatever Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, to believe it to be true. And not to have any questions whatsoever after that. But many times, university youth, they ask all types of questions. How is that going to happen? Revisit the hadith. How can that be the case? No, that's not iman. That's not iman. I say something, you're going to ask, how is that going to happen? How is that the case? Anybody else says something, you're going to ask, how is that going to happen? How is that the case? If Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something, there's no questioning anymore. This is called the Siddiq. So who began this beautiful line of Siddiqeen? His name is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What happened that Nabi Kareem Sallam went on Isra and Miraj? Or Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl found out. They were so foolish, they thought that they could now corrupt Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they went to him and they said, oh, you know that person you believe in as a Nabi, he is saying that he went all the way to Baitul Maqaddis and then even more and back in the span of one night. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, if he said it, it's true. That's all he said. If he said it, it's true. Whatever he says is true. He became a Siddiq. Right there Allah Ta'ala gave him maqam of a Siddiq, because he did tasdeeq of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became Imam al-Siddiqi. Some ulama mashayikh, they say that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, we all believe that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is the greatest non-Nabi. The greatest human being after the Anbiya, greater than Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. If you take the position that Khizr is a Wali, not a Nabi, greater than Khizr. If you take the position that Luqman is a Nabi, a Wali, not a Wabi, Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in that case, he's greater than him also. But some say that Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam may be a Nabi. Can you imagine? Even once we had one ustad, Allahu alam, I don't know, but I can just share it with you. He was at the position, MashaAllah, some of our Pakistani ulama, Allahu Akbar, when it comes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, they can najib josh. Karen, that reminds me of another story, but that I can't tell you that story. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, so they said that these two sahabi have such a great daraja, and this is Dalil also I would tell you, they have such a great daraja that they're not only just the two greatest non-anbiya, their daraja is equal to some of the quote-unquote, it's not proper adab to say quote-unquote, lesser anbiya or lesser anbiya. Dalil they give. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, لَوْ كَانَ النَّبِيًا بَعْدِي لَكَانَ عُمَرًا. That were there to have been a Nabi after me, it would have been Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What does it mean? That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the sifat of the anbiya before me, I see them as Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Muhdiseen asked question that why didn't the Prophet say Abu Bakr? This was because of his special love, what we call nisbat-i-ittihadi. It means, what was the key word in the hadith? Ba'di, after me, separate from me. So Nabi Kareem was so in love with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he couldn't imagine his own nubuwwat without Sayyidina Abu Bakr. So if any nubuwwat was to come after, he said, Lakana Umara, it would have been Sayyidina Umar. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. Such kamal ittiba sunnah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he got the adat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khair. So the first feeling we should have from the Prophet is iman. Real, deep iman. Second feeling Allah has mentioned in Quran is called ita'a. Ita'a means to obey. Ita'a means to obey. How much did Allah stress this in Quran? Allah said in Quran, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهُ. That whomsoever obeys Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is equivalent to, tantamount to, as if they obeyed Allah. There could not be anything stronger statement than this. Can you imagine? Whomsoever obeys Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is as if he's obeyed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The way we explain this in Urdu, ki inko meri tarah samajna. That's what it means. That obey him like you would obey me. That's the flavor of this verse. That's what I was saying. Some translation, this is the meaning of this. Obey him the way you would obey me, because obeying him is equal to obeying me. مَنْ يُطِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Now this also we learn that obedience to Allah Ta'ala is one thing, and there are going to be some extra additional things that the Prophet ﷺ is going to tell us, and obedience to him is a distinct, separate thing. So we want to obey Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ. Third feeling is Nabi Kareem ﷺ is described by Allah Ta'ala in Quran. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ And let me explain this ita'at to you a little bit more. It means whatever the Prophet ﷺ said, to do it. You see, when it comes to this concept of fard and concept of sunnah, so some people have this strange concept that the sunnah is not fard. That's correct from a perspective of fiqh. If that's what they mean, that sunnah is not fard, correct. But if what they're trying to suggest from that I have to do the fard and I don't need to do the sunnah, this is an incorrect idea. So let's explain. So one thing is to say, your command is my command. And one thing is to say, your wish is my command. What does the lover say? Lover doesn't say to the beloved, your command is my command. Employee says to boss, your command is my command. That's a dry relationship. The relationship of love is what? That your wish is my command. Your wish is my command. So what does it mean? The sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala, that was your wish for me. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا Your wish for me, Allah Ta'ala, that I become like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your wish for me, that's my command. That's the feeling of the believer. It may not be the fatwa for the believer. That's the feeling of the believer. So there's no distinction. No distinction in the heart of the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are mentioning to you, the third feeling is mercy. Because Allah Ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ That we have not sent you except as a mercy for the worlds. Me and you are part of that alameen. It means Nabi Kareem has been sent as a rahmah to us. You have to feel it personally. We have to get that mercy that he was and be that mercy that he was. This is also sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His warathat, what he bequeathed to us, was also his mercy. It means that we have to be as merciful to others as merciful as he was. Now can you imagine how merciful he was? That Allah Ta'ala calls him Rahmatan lil Alameen. So at least can we not be a source of mercy to our little alam, means our family or our community or our society or our congregation or our neighbors or our circle of friends or our fellow students or our fellow teachers, however you have, whatever alam you have. If the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ was he was a rahmah to all of the alameen, can we not become a source of mercy to those around us? Until we are like that, we are not truly following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem ﷺ. Not truly following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem ﷺ. So this Allah Ta'ala said in Quran al-Kareem, that the Prophet ﷺ has a uswatun hasana. Fourth feeling. And this is going to now explain all of it. That's called ittiba. Ittiba means simply to follow and pattern oneself on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like many of you know, Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbunallah." Qul, say to them, my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "In kuntum tuhibbunallah," that if you think or you claim or you want to love Allah Ta'ala, you can't come to Allah Ta'ala directly. There's no concept like that, oh, I have my own personal relationship with Allah. No. Allah Ta'ala is the name of that being, that you come to Him on His terms. You don't come to Him on your terms. That's what Allah Ta'ala is. Now He has laid out a path, and this path is so sweet. It's paved with something even more beautiful than diamond and gold. It is perfumed with something more beautiful than mushk and umber. That path is called the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala says, tell them if they think they love me, They can't come to me directly. They can't love me without following you. فَاتَّبِعُونِ You tell them that they should do ittiba of you. Okay? So maybe one believer says, Ya Allah, I wanted to love you. You sent me to do follow the sunnah. Okay, I bring the sunnah. I do ittiba of the sunnah. Ya Allah, now do you accept me as your lover? Allah says, Oh, my slave, not only do I accept you as my lover, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Now you are my beloved. You wanted to be lover, Allah said, bring the sunnah. You brought the sunnah, Allah said, you become beloved. Means every single sunnah has mahbubiyyah. Every drop of sunnah brings an endless ocean of mahbubiyyah. Like our Mufti Salaji and Escort, he once wrote for me in a book when I was a young man, he gave me his book. He called the sunnah endless ocean without shore. I still have a book. Allahu Akbar. These ulama, they understood. Endless ocean without shore. Every drop of sunnah gives us an endless ocean of mahbubiyyah, belovedness. More sunnah, more beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Less sunnah, less beloved to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Very simple. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ On top of that, you bring sunnah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you for all of your sins. Indeed, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Wallahu Ghafoorur Rahim, and Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. It's Allah Ta'ala's mercy that just following the sunnah enables us to become His beloved. Alright. Now we have to explain this concept of sunnah. There are two types of sunnah. One is the outer sunnah, and one is the inner sunnah. Outer sunnah means to pattern our appearance, our dress, our habits, the way we eat, the way we sleep, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we smile, the way we laugh. Every single thing about our zahir on the pattern of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inner sunnah means to have the adab and akhlaq, to have the manners and etiquettes, to have the behavior, to have the character. And another inner sunnah means to have the ahwal and kayfiyat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same way he had tawakkal on Allah Ta'ala for us to have reliance and trust on Allah, the same love and fear he had for Allah Ta'ala for us to have that same love and fear. Let me explain to you maybe. All of the awliyaullah combined and all of the sahaba combined, if you could combine all of their love for Allah Ta'ala on one side, and the love that one Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Allah on the other side, Nabi Kareem's own love far transcends all the love of all the lovers combined. And also fear. Yes, although many don't understand this. If you were to combine all the fear of all sahaba that they had for Allah Ta'ala, all fear that all muttaqeen ever had for Allah Ta'ala, combined and all on one side, the fear that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Allah Ta'ala is greater than all of that fear combined. That is also batini sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, problem that we have is that we have a lot of people who follow one and not the other. Some people they have say, I follow the inner sunnah, but I don't follow the outer sunnah. Some say, I follow the outer sunnah, but I don't follow the inner sunnah. They wouldn't say that, but this is their reality. So let me address both groups tonight. Not that necessarily all groups are present, but you should understand this clearly. So let's take that group which says, I will follow the inner sunnah, and I don't need to follow the outer sunnah. So they have a strange deception, and they say that the only thing that matters is what's on the inside. The only thing that matters is what's on the inside, they mean their heart. And they say it doesn't matter what's on the outside. Alright. So we have a very simple reply to this. No. We have two replies to this. First reply is that what is on the outside matters. It matters in every single thing in the world. For example, if you were to buy a brand new car, and I was supposed to take a key and scratch the door of your car, and you come to me and say, you scratched my car. And I tell you, oh, but what on the inside is what matters. I tell you the engine is fine, suspension is fine, function is fine, purpose of car to get you from point A to B, it can still get you perfectly to point A to B. Why are you worried? What matters is what's on the inside. And do you think that person, this answer is going to work? Huh? You think he'll be happy with me if I scratch his car? So if I can't scratch your car, Your car is so precious to you. Your car is so valuable to you. Your car is so beloved to you that it's not just on the inside that what counts, but it's also what's on the outside that counts. And how dare you scratch the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is he less precious to you, less valuable to you than the car? Look at the young man, he gets down on his knees and washes and scrubs the tires of his car to wipe away the dirt. Even though he's going to drive it right over the dirt again, you want to tell me that outside doesn't count? You can get on your knees and scrub the rims of your wheels, and you can't adopt the outer sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Look at every single thing in your life. If you're going to interview and I spill something on you, can I tell you this, that it's okay, it's outside, doesn't matter. You will win the over interview based on your skill and your answers. Everything in your life, the outside counts and the inside counts. Oh friend, is it only the beauty of your Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you don't think was outward, was just inward? That most beautiful example of beauty, the most shining beauty, the greatest zahir ever created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're going to tell me that zahir doesn't count, and your zahir, how you wash your face counts, how you paint your house counts, how you polish your car counts, how you carry yourself counts. Every zahir in the world matters to you, except that zahir that was created by Allah. That's the second answer. Now listen carefully. Every architect has a masterpiece. You go to an architect and he says, I've designed these 10 or 15 buildings, but this one is my masterpiece. What does he mean by masterpiece? By masterpiece, does it just mean he designed the inside? He hasn't designed the outside? No. By masterpiece, he means I design every single square inch. I design the facade, elevation, exterior. I design the interior. I personally selected every switch, every handle, every feature. Every single thing was personally picked and selected by me. That's called masterpiece. The sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the masterpiece creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More amazing than Allah ta'ala created black hole and galaxy and the universe, that you're so crazy about science. More amazing than Allah ta'ala created the human body. More amazing than Allah ta'ala created the atom, the subatomic particle, the quark. Infinitely, infinitely more amazing than any and all of the scientific creation is the masterpiece creation of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The masterpiece. Every drop about him is sunnah. His zahir is sunnah, his batin is sunnah. Every single thing is equally sunnah. Equally sunnah. Okay, then we have a second group. That they follow the outer sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they don't follow his inner sunnah. This group is present in large numbers in South Africa. I'm a very blunt person when it comes to this. Two things we've seen in South Africa more than any other country we've traveled. Number one, the amount of ghair salih hufaz that you produce is more than any other country in the world. I would go so far to say in the history of this ummah, no one has produced as many ghair muttaqi, ghair salih hufaz as South African community. Doesn't mean many of the hufaz, mashallah, are salih. Many are muttaqi. But these cases, I don't get these cases in US, UK and Canada. Half is plus zina. Half is plus drinking. Half is plus rape. Half is plus murder. I have cases like that. I've never had a case like that. And never even one case I have like that in US, UK, Canada. Here, Allahu Akbar. And then half is plus drugs and half is plus girls. It's so many of them. So many of them. Allah Ta'ala gave us hifazah. Allah Ta'ala put sense in the parents. It's not enough just to make your child a hafiz. It's not enough. What's the matter with you? And if you make your son a hafiz and you don't teach him the deen, you don't put the feelings of love for Allah Ta'ala in his heart, that son may stand against you on the Day of Judgment. What you don't think is automatic you're going to get that crown. That's for the muttaqi hafiz. The salih hafiz parents get that crown. What was the matter with you? It's a serious problem. That's for the local ulama to address. That's beyond my ability. But it's an observation we've been sharing with people every now and then. And second, is people who look like this. But Allahu Akbar. The cases we get about them. foul language with wife, physical abuse of wife, bloody-nosed wife. I've never seen, even I'll give you another example, I've never seen as many people with beards smoke as I see in your country. I've never seen that. It's not possible. I've never seen any person, I'm telling you honestly, I've never seen anyone in America with the sunnah beard smoke. Why? Now let me explain to you. What does it mean? Anything that is not, what does iman mean in Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Anything that doesn't befit Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not befit you. Can any one of you imagine, in your wildest imagination, can you imagine Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smoking one cigarette? Can you imagine him taking one drag? How dare you look like this and smoke a cigarette? How dare you? That's what I say to you. Don't bring me the fatwa. I'm mufti. I know the fatwa. How dare you? You want to follow the outward form? And when some of you smoke so much, you do masafa, it's difficult for us to even shake your hand. That's how much you smoke. So you follow the outer sunnah and you betray the inner sunnah. You are disservice. You are a stain on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are a shame on the sunnah. And people come and tell us that all these, what's the point, huh? Can you imagine what response do I give this woman? That she tells to me, my husband, he follows the sunnah, beard of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he treats me like this. What am I supposed to tell her? You want me to tell her that yes, the sunnah has no effect on your husband? You want me to say that statement? How can I say that statement? That he speaks like this, he acts like this, he behaves like this. He betrayed me with this woman. Yes, the number of bearded adulterers in this country. What's the matter with you? You follow the outward sunnah and you don't follow the inward sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How dare you do that? Don't be a stain on the sunnah. Don't be a shame on the sunnah. You have to follow both. You have to follow both. Allahu Akbar. I remember when I was a young man, my shaykh, he told me, and there were others there also, told a few of us, he was encouraging us, so he told us that every hair on your beard is more valuable than thousands of girls. So he explained to us. So here we got excited because that was maybe several thousand, 10,000, 100,000. Now can you imagine that a person, even looking at the screen, even looking at an image on the screen, or even looking at a woman passerby, that you looked with your eyes, now I want you to think, you look with your sunnah. You have the sunnah and you're looking? Allahu Akbar? So they say, Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, that our bodies will testify against us. This very same sunnah beard will testify that what this person did with their eyes. Follow the outer sunnah, and we don't have the inner sunnah. This is a major crisis. Major crisis. Now listen to a beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he explained it so beautifully. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make your outward virtuous, and make your inward virtuous, and make your inward better than your outward. These are darajat of sunnah. So number one, yes, we make the outward, we try, we do knuckle. We try to pattern and mold ourselves because that's easier sunnah. This sunnah is very hard sunnah. Sunnah of the heart is the hardest sunnah. This is easy sunnah. So like any other poor person, poor student, you go for the easy question first. So we follow the outward sunnah. Then the Prophet said, make your inward virtuous. Follow the inward sunnah. Then make your inward more virtuous than your outward. These again, you can't understand this. You have to do kuno ma sadiqeen to understand this. Who are the sadiqeen? They are those people whose inward is even more virtuous than their outward. They have beautiful appearance, adorned with the beauty of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but their adab and akhlaq and their ahwal, their sifat, their feelings are even more beautiful than their. Now you remember. Now you remember. You remember the beauty of the face, but what you really miss is the beauty of the heart. The beauty of the heart was even more than the beauty of the face. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many of our wives would say that about us, who follow the outward sunnah? So we have to follow the inward sunnah and follow the outward sunnah, and we have to love the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much? Maybe you think I'm exaggerating, right? How much should I follow sunnah? You know, there's another group of people, they say a strange thing to me. They say, brother, it's only sunnah. Nay, someday, this group calls me brother. We are everybody's brother. Not saying you call me Shaykh. But when they preface their sentence with me, brother, it's only sunnah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. When you hear this, let me translate this for you. If you think like that, or feel like that, or speak like that, that it's only sunnah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Let me translate for you. If anybody says that it's only sunnah, it means it's only your Nabi. It's only Nabi Kareem, na al-aman al-hafiz, na kufr, na kufr bashat. It's only Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what it means when you say it's only sunnah. Okay, if you want to say that, don't say that to me. Go to Medina Munawwara. You go to Masjid Nabawi. You go stand at Roza. If you have the guts, you say to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yourself, it's only sunnah. What's the matter with you? What happened to us? What else is there for us than the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What does it mean to be an ummati of a Nabi? Now listen what Allah Ta'ala said in Quran al-Kareem. An-Nabiyu awla bil mu'mineena min anfusihim. An-Nabiyu awla. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes priority, takes precedent over the believers than their own selves. What do you mean it's only sunnah? It's everything. That is the be-all and end-all of our life. It is everything. How can somebody talk like that? Sometimes people think like that. People think like that. These were our mashayikh. They were very firm and steadfast on sunnah. Ittiba'i sunnah. Must follow each and every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the last feeling that we should have from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called muhabba. Mahabbatul Rasul. Ishq Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love. To love. What does it mean to love the Prophet? It goes right back to the Sunnah. Now listen to beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. That person who loves my Sunnah, indeed they love me. So first it gives us, what's the feeling? It's not just follow the Sunnah. Adopt the Sunnah. No, love the Sunnah. Have a craze for the sunnah. Be fanatical about sunnah. Yes. Be fanatical and obsessive about sunnah. Man ahabba sunnati. That person who loves the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqad ahabbani, that person loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that person who loves the Prophet, man ahabbani, faqad ma'iya fil jannah. That person who loves me will be with me in jannah. What does it mean? Love for the sunnah will grant somebody jannatul firdaus. What more could you have? That's the power of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to have love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now listen how precious this love is. It's in the hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, and it's in the chapter on the punishment of drinking. One Sahabi was brought to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having been caught drinking. So the Nabi Kareem told Sahaba Ikram to carry out the had punishment, right? Lashing, caning, all that. When the punishment was being carried out, and it turns out that Sahabi had been caught before, all right. When the punishment was being carried out, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face got an expression of sadness, because he was sad that my Sahabi has been caught in this, and my Sahabi made mistake. Okay, another Sahabi, he saw this expression, he was ashik, he saw that my beloved Nabi Kareem has become saddened. I'm giving a commentary now. He saw that my beloved Nabi Kareem's face has become saddened. Because he loved the Prophet and he couldn't bear to see that the sorrow of his beloved Prophet. So what did he do? He did lanat on that Sahabi who was drinking. Lanat. What does lanat mean? Lanat doesn't mean that na'uzubillah he used some curse word or profane language. Lanat in this context in Arabic means that you wish that somebody, you say that somebody is outside the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Like when Allah Ta'ala says, La'na on shaitan, Now it's about Allah Ta'ala is not a being who's going to curse, or Allah Ta'ala doesn't use foul language. It means, la'na means to take out bu'ud an rahmatillah, to take somebody outside the range of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now actually, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is infinite. So only Allah Ta'ala can pick up shaitan and put him outside the range of his infinite mercy. That's what la'na means. So this sahabi, he said that you don't deserve mercy. You hurt the Prophet ﷺ, and then again, and you were punished, and again you made tawbah, and again you were caught, and again you're hurting the Prophet ﷺ. No mercy should be shown to you. That's what he meant. Okay, now when he said this, so what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Allahu Akbar. La tal'anuhu. Nabi Akhlisan, don't you say this la'na on him. Well, فَوَاللَّهِ because I, Nabi Akhlisan, swear. What? Alimtu annahu yuhibbu Allah wa rasulahu. I know that he loves Allah Ta'ala and he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that you love Allah Ta'ala and Prophet, you can drink and sin. What it means is that Nabi Akram was saying that he has a feeling in him and that feeling will one day save him. That feeling will one day redeem him. That feeling is so strong that as long as he loves Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet, he will definitely come out of this act. That's why Mashaikh Awliya, they invite people to these two feelings. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love Allah ta'ala and love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the major feelings of deen. Major feelings of deen. Now, some people, because they don't have this love, they don't follow sunnah. Now let me tell you another thing. We have met some people all over the world now, not particular to any country, that they don't follow the outward sunnah. Why? Because actually they're scared of being recognized as Muslim in that society. They don't want to be recognized as a Muslim. So my simple question to them is that what if Allah Ta'ala accepts this niyyah of yours? Not just in this world, but on the Day of Judgment also. What if you wanted that you should not be recognized as a Muslim? What happens? Right? We're walking. I don't know. I'm in airport. I don't know if it's Indian Hindu or Indian Gujarati Muslim. So I don't know whether to say salam. I don't know if it's Nigerian Muslim or Gambian Christian. I don't know whether to say salam. I don't know if it's a Turkish Muslim or he's a Bulgarian or Romanian atheist. I can't tell. I don't know whether to say salam. Because that person has chosen to make himself unrecognizable as a Muslim. Okay, so if you spent your whole life like that, so they say that as you live, so shall you die. That's actually the mafhum of hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then what if you die unrecognizable, you're raised on the Day of Judgment as unrecognizable, means you tried to be unrecognizable to humanity in this world, Allah Ta'ala will raise you unrecognizable to your Nabi on the Day of Judgment. That Nabi Karim will walk past you on the Day of Judgment. As people used to walk past you, what you wanted, what they should walk past me on earth and not recognize that I'm a Muslim. So your wish was Kabul, and on the Day of Judgment, the greatest human being, Nabi Akram, will also walk past you and not recognize that you're Muslim. You understand how badly we need him to recognize us? Let me explain another relationship that we have with Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajeeb and ghareeb hadith. Also in the either Sahih Muslim or Bukhari. Maybe both, I can't remember now. That Nabi Akram said, that Allah Ta'ala gave me ikhtiyar, that I was given a choice. What choice? That either I can save half the ummah, or Allah Ta'ala will give me the right of shafa'a. Either half the ummah could go to Jannah, or Allah Ta'ala will give me shafa'a, right of intercession. So he said, I chose the right of intercession, لِأَنَّهُ أَكْثَرُ وَعَأَمُّ because that will be more people and more widespread people will be able to go. What does this mean? So what is half of the ummah up till now? Right now there are 1.2 billion believers, right? And 50 years ago there were another 1 billion believers. And 50 years before that there were another billion believers. So let's say, roughly speaking, there are 40 billion believers on the Day of Judgment. That's a conservative. Most likely there are more. 40 billion believers on the Day of Judgment. So what does it mean? What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his shafa is going to be aktharu and a'amu. Means more than 20 billion. More than half. How would this happen? It's ajeeb. On that Day of Judgment, when there are billions and hundreds of billions of human beings, and that 40 billion ummah, and more than half will get the shafa of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means one by one, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu is going to go to 20 billion people. One by one, go to one, and start making dua, Ya Allah, and start making dua to Allah, making dua to Allah, making dua to Allah. Who is that person? لَأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Nabi Kareem said, for those who were the tremendous sinners from my ummah. So this person will have sinned so much that on that day they're not going to be going to Jannah. They're not destined for Jannah. Nabi Kareem will grab their hand metaphorically and make dua to Allah Ta'ala and make their shifa. Keep pleading, keep pleading, keep pleading. Then Allah says, okay, I send him to Jannah. Then the Prophet will go to the next one. Will plead to Allah. Keep pleading, keep pleading. And Allah says, okay, go to, and Nabi Kareem will go one by one. One by one to 20 billion mu'mineen or more on the Day of Judgment. And on each one plead their shafa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine how shafiq Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is? Can you imagine how long that's going to take? Can you imagine he's delaying his entry into Jannah for so long? Billions and billions. And can you imagine that other person who he couldn't get forgiven by Allah Ta'ala, his amal were so low, his sins were greater, and then he saw Nabi Akram coming from a distance, doing shifa of one, making dua for Allah knows how long, maybe years, Allah knows best, making dua shifa for another one, making shua for another one, and then Nabi Akram passes his by. He's on the other part. Those mu'mineen, because there will be such mu'mineen. Those mu'mineen who don't get the shafa of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine that tragedy? Can you imagine how he'd feel standing there? It's finished now. This wave of shafa passes him by. He is not even part of the greater than half. He's not even the aktharu and a'ammu. Which person do you think that person might be? My heart tells me it'd be that person who did not follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person who wanted to be unrecognized in this world. Or, even more scary, that person who betrayed the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person who is a stain on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person who is a shame on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should think that we're in danger of being passed by. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. Imagine. Now all of us want that shifa. All of us need that shifa. All of us are from those Ahl al-Kabair. All of us desperately need Nabi Kareem Sam to recognize us, to own us, to identify us, to claim us on that Day of Judgment and intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf. Now we end then with one verse from Quran and one hadith of Nabi, one two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that give us great hope. That give us great hope that even now, even in 2014, even in this society of ghafla and society, environment and technology of sin, still there is hope for us. What? Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ, that whomsoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeys Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, that person will be with ma'a, ma'iyat. That person will be forever joined in Jannatul Firdaus with all of the people whom Allah Ta'ala has sent His blessings. Min al-Nabiyyin wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada'i wa Salihin. They will be with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will be with Nabi Isa alayhi salam. They will be with Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They will be with Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Or they will be with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They will be with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Farooq, also from Siddiqeen. They will be with all Sahaba, all Shuhada, all Salihin, all Awliya. If only they could obey Allah Ta'ala and obey Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing else mentioned in this verse. They just have to do two things. Obey Allah Ta'ala and obey Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will end up in Jannah with all of those beautiful virtuous people. Even Allah Ta'ala, when He mentioned this group, this is the feeling of this verse. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned Unnabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Shuhada and Salihin, وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Oh, what wonderfully beautiful company this would be for that person who can obey Allah Ta'ala and obey Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was one verse. Then hadith. Why this love for the Prophet is so important. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. And Sahaba Ikram, one is narrated from some Sahaba, they said this was the best moment of our life, the happiest day of our life, the most golden sentence we ever heard coming from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? They also felt about themselves that our hope lies in this Ishq Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even they were muttaqeen and they were salihin and they were musallin and they were mujahideen. But what was the thing they were counting on? They were counting on their love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he told them, Al-Maru ma manhabba means that a person will be in Jannah forever, forever with whomsoever they love. So they felt that, yes, now we are safe. Because they were scared. They also said, you will be in your own daraja in Jannah, and we will be in a lesser daraja because you're greater than us. So the Prophet said, no, no, no. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. And Sahaba were so blessed. Sahaba were so blessed that for them this sentence was two-way. Yes. That they loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. They'll be with him. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved them. Yes, Nabi Kareem loved them also. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. Nabi Kareem will be with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Because it's a universal rule that applies to him also. He will also be with whom he loves. Now is the real hadith I wanted to tell you, which has a lot of blessing in it. That once Nabi Kareem, remember this last part, al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, that Nabi Kareem will also be with those whom he loves. So in one hadith, once Nabi Kareem was sitting with Sahaba Ikram, and all of a sudden he started making dua to Allah Ta'ala. What dua? He said, Ya Allah, unite me with my ahibba. Ahibba means my lovers. So Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are your lovers. What is it that's lacking in us? We are your loyal lovers. Who is it that you're asking Allah Ta'ala to be united with? So he said, No, my companions, you do love me, but you have seen me. You have heard me. You have heard, that means you have heard that revelation come from me. You have seen the nur of Nabuwat on me. So I said, but just now Allah Ta'ala told me that there will be some people who come much later on, who they will have never seen me, and they will have never heard me, but they love me so much, as a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that if they could just to catch a single glimpse of me, they would flip themselves and walk and drag themselves on their head, means they would have done anything for me. So when Allah Ta'ala told me about this, I said, Ya Allah, unite me with them now. I want to meet them now. I want to meet, who are those faraway mu'mineen coming in later times who have so much love for me? Allah Ta'ala, I want them now. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Sitting with Sahaba Ikram, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, but Nabi Akram was yearning for those people in the latter generations. Me and you have that chance. This is one hadith that me and you have the chance. That even technically Sahaba didn't have that chance. They don't need that chance. But me and you can be that. You know how much hope Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in this ummah. Famous incident in Makkah Mukarramah, the last hadith for tonight. That when Nabi Kareem was in Makkah Mukarramah, in the earliest period, when there's a lot of repression, a lot of persecution. So once he went and he was always wanting to be in the Kaaba, in front of Kaaba. So once the Prophet went near Kaaba, and he saw there weren't too many people around. So he thought, this is my chance, and he went near to pray two rakats salah. When he was praying, now obviously the Prophet was enjoying salah, praying long salah. By that time some young men, kuffar, uncouth youth from the kuffar of the Quraysh of Makkah, they showed up. So they waited, and they realized the Prophet was praying. So they went and they dragged a carcass of a dead camel. And they waited for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go into sajda, and they dragged that camel on top of him. Allahu Akbar. Then later on, some time passed, there must have been some sahaba who must have come and dragged it off. Then Nabi Kareem finished his prayer. Then later when he was walking back home, some of those same young men, they pelted stones at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to some narrations, this is that incident where Nabi Kareem also bled. His face was wounded. Allahu Alam. So what did he do? He went to his daughter's house, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he went to her house. And when she saw Nabi Kareem had some injuries, so she brought a bowl of water for the Prophet to cleanse his wounds. And as he raised the bowl of water, she was standing over him. He saw her reflection in the water, and he saw that she was crying. When he saw the tears were coming from her eyes, he put the water away. He didn't tend to his wounds. He didn't cling to his wounds. He looked up and said, Oh Zainab, don't you worry. He told his daughter, "O Zainab, don't you worry. I swear in the name of that being in whose power lies my life, that this message and mission that Allah Ta'ala has sent me with will one day reach the four corners of the world." What does it mean? Four corners of the world? What was the tasalli? What was the consolation? What was soothing the Prophet's heart? The tender love of his daughter? No. The water? No. What was soothing his heart at the grief that my own youth of Makkah Mukarramah don't follow me, but there will come a time, maybe the youth of Durban will follow me. There will come a time in faraway lands, in faraway times, if these young men don't follow me, those young men will follow me. The fact that Allah Ta'ala showed me that those young men will follow me, it's enough to soothe my pain that my own Quraysh of Makkah youth don't follow me. Can you imagine the husn-i-zan that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us? How many of us have become like that? That if Nabi Kareem saw us and what we do, he would have felt solace at that moment. He would have been comforted that if my Ahl-i Makkah don't accept me, that person accepted me. How many of us have become like that? How far we are from him, how far we are from his hope in us, how far we are in his desire for us, harisun alaykum, so much. You could go on. How not haris we have become for that Nabi Kareem Sam who is haris for us. How far have we come? How far are we going to let it go? So tonight we have to make this niyyah that Ya Rabbi Kareem, no. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. It'll take out this nifaq from me. Grant me the inner sunnah. Grant me the true sunnah. Grant me the sunnah heart of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grant me the sunnah hayab of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grant me the sunnah kindness and gentleness of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make me the best husband to my wife the way he was the best husband to all of his wives. Make me the best parent and grandparent the way he was the best parent and grandparent. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enough is enough. We make tawbah on this night and we make dua that Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us the true ummati of that true Nabi. Make us as true an ummati to him as true a Nabi he was to us. Make us as loyal and loving an ummati to him as loyal and loving he was to us. May Allah Ta'ala accept this niyyah from us. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we make short zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many different methods of zikr. This is just a method of zikr, known as zikr al-qalbi, muraqabah. During the zikr, we will recite maybe some dua, some poems, expressing the feeling of our heart and our wish for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everybody else will be making silent zikr. Silent zikr al-qalbi is done simply this way, that we're going to sit with the niyyah that my qalb is remembering Allah Ta'ala. Actually what happens is you keep sitting with the intention that your qalb is remembering Allah Ta'ala. One day Allah Ta'ala lets you sit in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. But because we're weak, we're beginning, so we sit with the niyyah of zikr, and we keep sitting, keep sitting, keep sitting, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Don't give up, never stop sitting. As long as you keep sitting, one day you will start remembering. So we sit with the niyat that our qalb is making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Close your eyes, bow your head, disconnect yourself from the world and everything that it contains. Make niyat that Ya Rabbi Kareem, I want to spend some moments remembering you. I want to reflect on what was said, what was heard, what I felt in my heart. My love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revive it in me, increase it in me. Ya Rabbi Kareem, now I turn to you and you alone, from the core of my being, the heart of my ruh, my spiritual heart, my qalb. I make niyat that my qalb is making zikr of your name, that my qalb is calling Allah, Allah, Allah. کس سے مانگے کہاں جائے کس سے کہیں کس سے مانگے کہاں جائے کس سے کہیں اور دنیا میں حاجت روا کون ہے Whom shall I ask, where may I turn, except you, Allah? Whom shall I ask, where can I turn, except you, Allah? Where can I go? Who can I ask? From whom may I beg? Me unworthy and needy, the rest gone ahead. Where can I go? Who can I ask? Besides you, true friend, me unworthy and needy of you to the end. سب کا داتا ہے تو سب کو دیتا ہے تو سب کا داتا ہے تو سب کو دیتا ہے تو تیرے بندوں کا تیرے سوا کون ہے کون مقبول ہے کون مردود ہے کون مقبول ہے کون مردود ہے بے خبر کیا خبر تجھ کو کیا کون ہے Who's blessed by you? Who's cursed by you? Who's accepted by you? Who's rejected by you? All we know is that knowledge is only with you. جب تلیں گے عمل سب کے میزان پر جب تلیں گے عمل سب کے میزان پر تم کھلے گا کہ کھوٹا کھرا کون ہے سب کا داتا ہے تو سب کو دیتا ہے تو تیرے بندوں کا تیرے سوا کون ہے When you weigh all our lives on the judgment day When you weigh all our deeds on the scales judgment day Who was fake, who was true will be shown on that day. The liars and cheaters will be shown on that day. The liars and cheaters will be known on that day. When you weigh all our deeds on the scales judgment day. Each and every one will be exposed on that day. Each and every one will be exposed on that day. Who was fake, who was true will be known on that day. My blessings are you, my yearnings are you. My blessings are you. My yearnings are you, your lovers seek no one other than you. Awliya, Anbiya, Ahle Bayt-e Nabi, Awliya, Anbiya, Ahle Bayt-e Nabi, Tabi'een o Sahaba par jab aabani, Gir-ge-sajde mein sabne, یہی عرض کی گر گے سجدے میں سب نے یہی عرض کی گرگِ سجدے میں سب نے یہی عرض کی تو نہیں ہے تو مشکل کشا کون ہے انبیاء اولیاء All were so true to you, Anbiya Oliya. All were so true to you. I'm begging you, Allah, make me also true. Anbiya Oliya. All were so true to you. I'm begging you, Allah, make me also true. Their honor was based on connection to you. Their greatness was marked by reflection of you. Your prophets and saints, one blessed family. Their companions are now my identity. They all cried the same words when they fell on their knees. They all cried the same words when they fell on their knees. We are nothing without you, so forgive us, please. My Rabb, please hear the prayers in my heart. My Rabb, please hear the prayers in my breast, for you are the knower of all hearts the best. So I pray now that you open the path for me now. So I pray that you open the path for me now. Grant me sincerity and humility to bow. O Fakir, hear these words as a warning to you. O Fakir, hear these words as a warning to you. If you're not true to him, you will have no value. Without love for him, you will have no value. Unless beloved to him, you will have no value. Unless accepted by him, you will have no value. Where can I go? Who can I ask? From whom may I beg? Me unworthy and needy, the rest gone ahead. کس سے مانگے کہاں جائیں کس سے کہیں اور دنیا میں حاجت روا کون ہے لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ ایک دعا سبحان ربنا الوہاب اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلى آل سیدنا محمد وبارک وسلم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا يور بكريم يو تشوز اس يا الله يو ميد اس فروم مست مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم ظلمنا انفسنا يور بكريم وي بتريد ذات سنة وي بتريد اور اون نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وي بيكم ا ستين اند شيم اون ذات سنة ا ستين اند شيم اون ذات امه يور بكريم سند يور رحمان مرسي اون اس سند يور Maghfirah on us. Forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Make us follow each and every sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make our outward form beautiful through his sunnah. Make our inward form beautiful through his sunnah. Let us follow every single aspect of his uswatun hasana. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to be true, loyal, loving, obedient slave to you. And we want to be true, loyal, loving ummati to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this near from us on this night. Make us amongst his ahibba. Make us amongst his muhibbin. Make us amongst his mahbubin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, on that day of judgment, Ya Allah, we also want to be recognized by him. We want to be given water to drink by his beloved hands at Holy Kothar, Ya Allah. We want his shafa, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We want to be with him all the way in Jannat al-Firdaus, Ya Rab. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this dua from us. Accept this niyah from us. Ya Allah, every single sunnah that we already have, let it save us from sin. Let it protect us from sin. Let it stop us from sin. Ya Allah, those of us who are blessed with the sunnah appearance, Ya Allah, grant us the sunnah eyes, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Grant us the sunnah haya, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Grant us the sunnah thoughts, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Grant us the sunnah dhikr, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Grant us the sunnah feelings, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, drown us in the sunnah. Keep us on the sunnah. Attract us towards the sunnah. Let us never abandon the sunnah. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Karam fazl ko maaf farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, jab teri nazar hum par padi thi, aapne hume is ummat ke liye chuna. Tere kitna bada hum par fazl tha. Aapki kya shafqat thi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, aaj wohi nazar dobara inayat farma. Jis tarah aapne hume ummat ke liye chuna, aaj hume sunnat ke liye chun lijiye. Sunnat wale mizaj ata farma. Sunnat wala taqwa naseeb farma. Sunnat wala haya ata farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, teri deen hai. Hum lene ke liye aaye hain. Tu dene wali zaat hai. Tu al-wahhab hai. Hum aapke faqir muhtaaj hain. Ya Rabbi Kareem, de dijiye pyara Allah. Jab aapne Nabi Kareem ka zahir se nawaza, batin se nawaz dijiye. Jab aapne unke ummat mein se banaya, unke akhlaq de dijiye. Ya Rabbi Kareem, send your karam and fazl on us, Ya Allah. If you accepted us for the outward sunnah, give us the inward reality of that sunnah. If you made us from his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us recognizable to him on the day of judgment. Make us from his ummah of shafa, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us from his ummah of the Jannat al-Firdaus sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, it's your karam and fazl, Ya Allah. It would be so kind of you upon us. It would be your gentle grace upon us. Ya Allah, make each and every one of us sahib al-sunnah. Grant us the feelings of sunnah, the personality of sunnah, the character of sunnah. Let it became up till now, all of the times that we betrayed the sunnah, forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. If anyone was turned off by the sunnah because of us, forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Send your hidayah on their heart. Send them the true sunnah on their heart. Send them a true representative of sunnah in their life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us and guide us to the companionship and company of your awliya, siddiqeen, sadiqeen, so we too can have ainul yaqeen of the sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us to live that sunnah and be that sunnah, so we can have haqqul yaqeen of that sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that, Ya Allah, on the day of judgment, Ya Rabb, don't show our sins to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, don't let him be hurt by our sin. Ya Allah, that one sahabi, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem was hurt, Ya Allah. We don't want to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us that same ishq that was in that sahabi's heart. Grant us that same love that Nabi Kareem swore to. Ya Allah, make us ushaq like that, muhibbin like that, make us mahbubin like that. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us for all of the sins that we ever did before we followed the sunnah. Ya Allah, forgive us for the sins that we kept doing while following the sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for the sins that we kept doing even after following sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those of us who have studied deen, forgive us for the sins that we did before we read hadith. Forgive us for the sins that we did while reading hadith. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for the sins that we kept doing even after we had read hadith. Ya Allah, have mercy on us, Ya Allah. Have mercy on this heart, Ya Rabbi Kareem. How we've become so hard. How we've become so far. Ya Rabbi Kareem, melt our heart in the sunnah. Melt our heart in the love for sunnah. Mold our heart in love for sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, do rangi se mehfooz farma. Yak rangi ata farma. Sibghatullah ka rang naseeb farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, hum khud is do rangi se tang aage hain. Aine mein dekhkar chehra sunnat wala hai. Dil mein dekhte hain, dil kala hai. Ya Rabbi Kareem, maaf kar lijiye. Fazl farma dijiye. اے نبی کریم ہمیں اس دورنگی سے نکال دیجئے، اس نفاق سے نکال دیجئے، ہمیں مخلصین متبعین بنا دیجئے، ہمیں صالحین متبعین بنا دیجئے. اے نبی کریم take us out from our hypocrisy, make us the true followers of نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Can we reach such a state in the last third of the night when our beloved نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم used to rise and make dua for us, we spend the last third of the night sinning, Ya Allah, staring at the screen, Ya Allah, sinning against you, Ya Allah. Have mercy on us, Ya Allah. Remind us when we forget, guide us when we go astray, pick us up when we fall, set us straight, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi, make dua, Ya Allah, for each and every one of us and ourselves on this night. Make us the true followers of the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua for this country, Ya Allah, the ummah of this country. Send your special rahmah and mercy on all the hufaz. Ya Rabbi, they're all beloved to us. Ya Rabbi, grant each and every of them a taqwa, Ya Allah. Make them salihin, muttaqeen, hufaz. Send your special mercy on them. Protect them, Ya Allah. In their heart lies your Quran. In their breast lies your Quran. Ya Allah, they've been confused by the society. They've been duped by their nafs. Ya Allah, send your mercy on them. In their heart is your Quran, Ya Allah. If any time, even once in their life, Ya Allah, they even memorized one ayah, one loves, one harf in your love, do lodge of that, Ya Allah. Honor that, Ya Allah. Make that a means of sending your hidayah on them, your maghfirah on them, your karam and fazl on them. Ya Allah, put an understanding in the hearts of parents. Put an understanding in the hearts of the teachers. Put an understanding in the hearts of the students, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we make dua for all of those who outwardly follow the sunnah. Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. We never want to do anything unbefitting to the sunnah. Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of smoking. Save us from the fitna of anger. Save us from the fitna of misbehaving. Save us from the fitna of lust. Ya Allah, grant us the haya of sunnah. Grant us the haya of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we make dua for all of the musallin in this masjid, all of the a'imma in this masjid, all of our beloved shuyukh of this masjid. Ya Allah, grant them a long life and health. Ya Allah, let them be sadaqa jariya for their shaykh. Let them be a waris of their shaykh. Let them be a spreader of the noor of their shaykh. Ya Rabbi Kareem, let all of the muridin and salikin all over the world, Ya Allah, be the true warithin of our mashayikh, be the true warithin of our shaykh, our shuyukh. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, send your karam and fazl, Ya Allah. Send your rahmah and maghfirah, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, we make dua for the ummah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Make us once again an ummah of the sunnah. Make us an ummah of the feelings of sunnah. And Ya Allah, send your special rahmah and karam on the muslimin, mutaassireen of this ummah, the weak and oppressed of the ummah. Ya Allah, be our protector when we have none. Be their guide when they have none. Be their wali and wakil, Ya Rabbi Kareem. And accept each and every one of us for the khidmat of the ummah and for khidmat of deen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Rabbana, Ya Allah, any du'as that are in the hearts of anyone, pious du'as, Ya Allah, grant the pious du'as, grant the silent plea, grant the unspoken wish, grant the secret cry, accept our secret tawbah from the secret sins that we did secretly in front of you, accept it, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us from your fazl and karam, the bounty of taqwa, adorn us in the libas of taqwa, grace us in the feeling of taqwa and haya, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi كريم ربنا تكمل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين